Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. The first time I spoke with social entrepreneur Neil Milton, he shared his childhood trauma of child-on-child sexual abuse and not feeling heard, which led him to empowering children to ensure they have a voice. Launching the Table Talk project to assist other families in creating a safe space, Neil is hoping his latest endeavour as an author will lead people to be authentic and mindful. Adaptability and agility are just two fundamental principles to leading in the 21st century. Leaders not only need to embrace technology and foster innovation, but build strong, trusting relationships with their teams, which requires empathy and vulnerability. Neil, welcome back. This sounds like a natural progression, but what was the catalyst for you to focus on facilitating leadership change?
I have had some really terrible leaders in my life, and I believe that there are two areas missing in leaders, and they are vulnerability and empathy. And I think without that, we can't truly treat people as they're meant to be treated and lead people as we're meant to be. You know, Simon Sinek is an amazing author and leader, and I really look up to his leadership. And he really talks about actually valuing the person over what they do. And for me, that's how I view it. It's also a psychosocial kind of avenue as well, to create a safe environment for every single person and to make sure that they're listened to, heard, and respected. And I think that from a leadership perspective, that's something I'm passionate about. So, yeah, I'm really wanting to develop leadership coaching so that I can really help the now leaders and the next generation of leaders, if you like, to really lead with heart. And that's what the heart of it is.
Why do you think leadership hasn't kept pace with a changing society and the cultural influences we see, especially in Australia?
I think that a lot of leaders are driven by someone above them, or finances, or prowess, and those sorts of things. I think there's a mentality that leaders need to be stoic, strong men. And I really think that's so sad, but it is a reflection of the mental health crisis that we face in Australia around that as well, where men don't talk, they're not vulnerable, they're not empathetic. We don't get alongside people because then it will show weakness and those sort of things. So I think there's a challenge between making a profit and giving people hope and supporting people as a human. That's kind of really important.
It's really telling that you've just mentioned men in the same breath as leadership, when women are also trying, you know, to have those positions, to enter those positions. One thing I've noticed, though, women, particularly in politics and corporate society, they tend to be quite masculine in their own leadership. You know, why don't we value vulnerability in leadership roles?
Brené Brown, who's an amazing author, she and known for talking about vulnerability, she talks about in one of her books the pain that she went through around just standing on stage and talking about this, and men coming up to her and going, nah, that's not leadership, and that's not this, and things like that. And for me, I think we still don't value all different areas and also all different sexes when it comes to leadership. And I think also it comes back to a strength-based approach as well. When you don't know who you are and you don't know the kind of leader that you want to be, you try to fit into someone else's mold, and that doesn't work.
Well, women, I find, try to fit into the bloke's world, which is what we see predominantly in, you know, Gen X and the boomers. So the baby boomers and Gen X seem to have adopted this style of leadership, which came out of the 50s, really. It hasn't changed much since then. How do we approach this then, Neil? I mean, what's the first step we need to take as a society to support those future leaders?
Well, I think one of the first things is to consider leadership with vulnerability and empathy as not a weakness, as something that actually values people for who they are. There was an incredible, I'll give you a quick story, but basically the situation is that there was a person who was running this massive company over in America, quite huge, and basically came to the staff and said, you know, we've had a really tough year and there's two things that we have to do. We can either lay off people to get the bottom line back to where it needs to be, or everyone can take a pay cut, including CEO, COO, everyone. And because of the vulnerability that he showed and the realness that he showed, everyone took a pay cut. But what was really interesting is throughout that time, people were like, oh, I can't afford a pay cut. I've got this and this. And so the people that could actually helped out the people that couldn't. At the end of the next year, they made so much money as a company that they gave everyone the raise that they were going to do, and then some, and their company just went absolutely nuts. And I think what leaders really don't show is that vulnerability that, you know what, I'm actually a person. And if I'm actually a person, then so are you. And you are valued as a person. And therefore, being a person means that you're not a number that we just get rid of, but we actually value you for who you are, not just what you do.
I was speaking with a writer for children recently, Janine Sanders, aka Jay Dale.
And love Janine.
She wants to empower the next generation. She's saying that schools need to take more responsibility in supplying the things they're not getting at home, and especially around trauma-informed, because some styles of, you know, learning don't necessarily suit, and you would know this yourself. So I'm wondering, where do you think we should start with leadership? Because we're not all born leaders. We're not all, you know, skilled in this area. So is it something that schools need to be teaching as well?
Absolutely. I actually think that's a really good point, because I think there's an assumption that as soon as you get to a certain age, then therefore you can think about leading people or investing in them and their strengths and those sort of things. But I actually think if you look at even in preschool, right, there's going to be someone, a little kid, that's actually leading the other people. Now, it might not look like a corporate kind of model, but I'm telling you, there's people following them, right? But what we need to do is teach them what it means to be a leader at a young age in school, so that therefore, then they grow up with that servant-hearted and that empathy and that vulnerability to be able to lead, so that when they grow into it, they can actually keep doing that. And when they get jobs and those sort of things and start businesses, they lead with that influence.
I go back to Barack Obama when he was talking about there being a lack of compassion worldwide. That's connected. Compassion is connected to empathy and vulnerability. Why do you think we're seeing this type of deficit in society today?
I think there is this mentality that, I say it again, that vulnerability is weakness. But the actual true meaning of vulnerability is actually going into battle with our armor on, right? And so if you think about it from a workplace perspective or a society perspective, we go into battle. If we go into workplace, we go into society with an armor on. You know, we put a mask on. That's the image, right? And we do that because we're so afraid of being ourselves or giving a little bit of ourselves to say, hey, I'm struggling or whatever it is, because we just don't know what the response is. I mean, my wife worked at an organization, and she feared ringing in sick because of the other person on the other phone going, oh, now we have to do this and now we have to do that. Now we have to make up your time. She's sick. You can't do anything about it. Now, if people are afraid of ringing in sick, right, there's a big problem in that culture. And so I think there's this sense of that weakness is being real and being honest. And getting alongside people means that we actually have to do life with them. And it becomes not like a work relationship, but we actually care about them outside. Because if we are true leaders, then we recognize that there's people who work for us. They have a life outside of our work, out of our job, right? And so therefore, whenever they come to that job, they bring that. So why wouldn't you create a safe environment for them to be themselves and say, I'm not quite right today, but I'm going to do my very best and I'm going to reach out if I need you. I mean, if I do that as a leader, I do that sometimes. And there's been situations where I've actually had to say, I'm sorry, guys, but I've had a really tough week at home. I'm going to do my best today, but I just ask your patience.
Since COVID, though, we've managed to do a bit more of hybrid. Women face a lot more issues when it comes to period pain, endometriosis. I was recently reading something on LinkedIn and a young woman from the UK was saying that those types of medical issues are not really embraced by workforces and people think you should be able to just get on with it. You know, that's that tough thing you were just talking about. What needs to change?
I think it's a culture thing. I think it all boils down to the kind of culture that you're wanting to create in your workplace. So for example, I believe that it's not about how many hours you work, it's about getting the job done, right? So if you can do that job in a certain amount of hours, then you should still get paid for that same job being done. And so for instance, with my staff, if they've got a medical appointment, well, then they need to go to that medical appointment. Right. If they were just being lazy and just taking all this stuff, well, then there'd be a different conversation, right? Because that's not setting the culture. However, my staff are amazing. Therefore, I know they're getting the job done. So, of course, go to your medical appointment, go do those things, go see a doctor, whatever you need to do to be supported. And I think all bosses, all leaders should be taking that as an example and not treating people like they're immature people, but actually seeing the best in them first rather than the worst or a lack of trust.
Around the world for the last probably 10 years, I've been horrified by the democratic election of some very unhealthy leadership styles. What's your take on what we're seeing even playing out currently?
I'm saddened that all over the world, they could only find people that want to hurt other people and verbally abuse other politicians and make decisions based on almost feathering their own cap rather than what is best for people. And I think it's a challenge because people put them on pedestals as the leader to aspire to. But actually, you know, you speak to many people in the community and they'll say, I don't want that job. There's no way I'd want that job. Whereas the people that are probably saying that and leading effectively in their own organization are probably the ones that should be on that stand. I think the thing is as well is it's not just the leader that you see up front, it's the party that's behind them. And that's where the culture lies. And I think the challenge is it's about transforming, if you like, the culture of the whole political landscape if we want to see a big change in leadership.
In a democracy, it's supposed to be the power of the people. So if the people have the power, Neil, how do we create change? What can we do ourselves as individuals?
We have to lead where we are. We have to be willing to be vulnerable and empathetic. And I say this when I do a talk around Australia. I say, if you want to start being vulnerable and empathetic in your workplace, it has to start at home. And that's why the Table Talk Project is so important, is because it creates a space where people can be vulnerable and empathetic, and you can practice that at home through conversation starters and those sort of things. But then in your workplace, you're able to take off the mask and be yourself. The other thing as well is that there's actually a line in the sand decision that a workplace needs to make. And I think as individuals, no culture is too far gone that it can't be brought back. It just has to have enough people within that organization to make a decision, a line in the sand that says, actually, we're not going to stand for this. And we're actually going to change this. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to lead from the front by being real and honest, empathetic and vulnerable. And as I talk about in my book, lead with heart.
That is exactly a great segue into your books, actually. I thought it was only one about leadership, but you've evidently just recently published two, and it is those two very things we've just been talking about. Why did you feel it necessary to create texts to help people understand these concepts?
Well, what I love about, and I never thought I'd be an author, just so you know, but I guess I was having some pain points in thinking about leadership and thought, you know what, I have to do something. I feel like there's a need, a necessary need to be able to do this because culture needs to change. And I didn't write a book with a whole bunch of stories and those sort of things, and a book that probably you would just put away, like you just read it and then put it away. This is actually a journal. So it's 30 days that you actually go on a journey to become an empathetic leader. And what that actually looks like, or a vulnerable leader, which is the second book. The reason why I did that 30 days is because I actually really believe when it comes to changing habits and changing culture, it's an investment of those 30 days that you invest into yourself and you invest into your behavior of how you can do that. Now, if you're already an empathetic or vulnerable leader, then use this as an opportunity to deepen that. And so I just really believe if businesses say, hey, you know what, I'm going to give every one of my staff one of these. I want to create a culture of empathy, culture of vulnerability. So in 60 days, we believe this is going to change. And what I do is I work with those leaders to be able to help them to facilitate that as they work through those books.
How would you evaluate your leadership prior to learning about it?
I would say that early on in my leadership, I probably left a bit of a wake of destruction. I think I was focused on what people did rather than who they are. So I realized that once you start treating people for who they are, not what they do, the reality is that you can be empathetic and you can be vulnerable. And if there's a culture of this, imagine what that would be like. All people would be knocking down the doors to be part of organizations because they're like, oh, I feel valued. I feel supported. And it's not this airy-fairy, oh, I feel valued, I feel supported. It's like, no, this is how people should be treated because we are human and we make mistakes and we need to admit it and we actually need to be vulnerable and empathetic towards people.
You know, I'm not a religious person, but that's exactly how the Bible summarizes treating other people. You know, you look at the Ten Commandments even, and it encourages us to treat people as we'd like to be treated. And I think it's a really good thing to model and to have as a foundation throughout life. Where did our morals go? I mean, what happened to us as a society that we're even having this conversation?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I am a Christian. And there has been a lot of things that I've learnt good and there's been a lot of things bad. When I was in the church, I was bullied. That was one of the workplaces that I experienced bad leadership. And then I've been in other retail industries and other industries and not-for-profits and things like that where I've been treated really badly. But I've also been treated by people that actually value me. And I think having a mentor or a coach helps to be able to achieve that. But I think where we went wrong, where we kind of went insular and we decided as a society that we can't cry, we can't show emotion, we can't lead of a place of understanding failure and being honest about our failures. There's this sense of, we just have to be right all the time. We have to be strong all the time. We have to be this. And like, that's just not how life works. I mean, shit happens, let's be honest. And I think more leaders need to be willing to actually say, I stuffed it up. I'm really sorry.
It's funny you brought up bullying because that's a big focus at the moment in Australia by the government to arrest the situation within schools. But I was reading some articles recently about the percentage of people who bully in schools that go on to bully later in life. And I've seen it in workplaces, and sometimes it's the bosses who are the biggest bullies and who lead, you know, the gossip in the office and encourage people to backstab each other, which is just so not necessary and undermines a culture of a workplace and helps people feel small. So given that we are now looking into it in schools, how do you think better leadership would solve this bullying problem?
Young people are looking for people to look up to, and the people they're looking up to are on Instagram and TikTok and all the different social media platforms. And some of those people are not good people. Some of the most viewed YouTube clips are ones where friends are bullying each other. You know, they're making pranks on each other. They're doing all that sort of stuff. And I really struggle with that. Like, I understand fun and those things. I get that. But to be, you know, throwing a ball out as hard as you can when you're not looking or whatever it is, and that's just a constant thing on this on YouTube channel and things like that, I don't think that's helpful. And also when it comes to, you know, children bullying other children, now it's online, social media and stuff like that, we have to adult up. Kids are looking for adults to be adults and to see the difference between being a child where their brain is not developed till they're 25 or early 20s and being an adult when they actually are. And I think we need to stop acting like someone whose brain isn't developed and start acting like someone who has. And that means it's about making others great, not about you being great and you having to push that agenda, but actually you're wanting to build others up and encourage one another. That's the passion of real leadership. And that's where it starts. It has to start in schools, has to be led in there.
Neil Milton for PM. That's all I've got to say. But you're probably like everyone else.
I want that job.
Exactly.
I want that job. So many people said to me, it's so great you've created these books on vulnerability and empathy, and especially from a guy. That's hit hard. It saddens me that men are not more vulnerable and empathetic, and that really needs to change. So I hope that when businesses and schools and other organisations get these books and they go on that journey, that we do start seeing a bit more of a culture, especially amongst men, but also amongst women too.
Neil Milton, thank you so much for your time today and all the best. Looking forward to hearing about it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Leadership coach, entrepreneur, and author Neil Milton, sharing his personal experience and knowledge in order to help others lead with empathy and vulnerability. If you'd like to know more, you'll discover all the contact points in the show notes, or you can search for Neil Milton online. Connect with me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or go to my website to subscribe at kimclyden.com. That's kimclyden.com. That's where you'll find educational and engaging children's picture books, the RSS feed to this podcast, and all my contact details. Until next time, remember, you can be the change you want to see in the world.